You know, I really love people, especially if we don't agree.
It's either gunning for love or it's defending against losing it. And from there, I could start, again, mapping out how it operated. The definition of what love is very diverse, right? But I worked out that that's what the mind was doing. And from there, I worked out how to untangle it. And so it was just a process. Every single, let's say there's been 13 iterations or 17, it doesn't matter, iterations, and it just got more and more powerful.
So this is a podcast where it was an exploration into the mechanics of the mind and creating a systemized approach to live a more fulfilling life.
I've worked with so many different people, and people roll up, and they have for, 10 years? They roll up and they trust me for whatever reason to be able to improve their life in some way, and I always have. Okay, so even though it was 10 years ago and the program wasn't anything like it is today, any bit of self-knowledge is going to improve your life. But it's changed to a process where now in 10 weeks I can take a person and I can make their ability to fix relationships, enhance their skills, fix issues at a totally different rate.
So liberate your brilliance. And we sort of went at each other for the whole thing. And then there was a reprieve at the end. But I think this is important for humans in general, that to have the ability to disagree in a way that is a joint exploration of truth. It's not me versus you. Okay, let's start. We're in a podcast.
Okay, cool.
Cool. I don't know where we're going. So maybe we start just being like, what is it that you do? You talked about selling yourself.
What is it that I do? Oh. Well, I call myself a strategist.
Okay.
Okay, who uses brilliance. So that's kind of the focal point of whatever I'm working with, whether it's branding or whether it's working with people. Mm-hmm. So that's what captivates me. Okay. And I talk about getting people to where they want to go using their brilliance.
So I still know nothing.
Yeah, keep going.
Is that what it is? So you say that and then the next question comes?
Hopefully.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah. How do you help them feel brilliant?
No, it's not I make them feel brilliant.
Discover.
It's that I work with brilliance. So I was a brand strategist for many years, and I created a strategy system for branding. So branding is the ability to be able to communicate or influence an audience. And that works very well if you distill brilliance and try and communicate it to an audience. So that's what I did with branding. And then at some point I decided to start applying that to people. I decided that if I could work with an organization, I could distill their brilliance, I could turn it into a visual identity, which then could be turned into marketing, etc., that I should be able to do that with people, the reason I could do it with the business is because it was a group of people. So then I decided to create a program that worked for people to teach them how to be as brilliant as they can.
Hey!
Yay!
Okay, that's perfect. Good. I understand now. I'm just looking at things to make sure they're working.
Yeah.
So, okay, brilliance. I believe often when people want to help others, especially say psychologists, because you would imagine sound like if you're helping people with their brilliance. What is it? How do you actually empower or encourage or what does it look like? What's this program? Like? You ask some questions.
Okay, so let's say 10 years ago, and if you were going down the route I thought you may go down, which was how did I use this to help myself?
Yeah, I thought about going that route, but yeah, I still didn't get what you do.
So
wounded healers, I call psychologists.
Yeah, well, I think I definitely needed what I created. So yeah, you're right. So I was very lopsided with my brilliance. I was incredibly brilliant at doing brand strategy and incredibly brilliant at not doing other parts of my life particularly well. Hmm. I remember a branding client said to me, how can you do this brand strategy so incredibly, but your life over there doesn't work at all.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
If it was a stats sheet, where would you be your lowest? Back then, not now, because you had changed with your self-program.
Well, I guess which part? Like, I think that when I started moving from doing organizational branding to individual people was when I hit a low that I went, this life's not working in the way I want it to. So therefore, you know, how do I change it? That would have been that was 2013. That was probably my lowest, but I don't think it was because of one thing. I think it was just like everything just added up and yeah.
Because I partly asked that question, kind of like in a video game, people got like stats. They're like 80 out of 100 on mining, 0 out of 10 on relationships.
Yeah.
What would be like, what have you, I guess,
well,
been?
Well, it's really weird you say that because I do have a graphic that I use to show people.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's very simple.
Okay, I like that.
And it's got my name in the middle of it and a circle around it, and then it's got all my relationships like a star off that particular circle. Mm-hmm. And every relationship that is growing away from the inner circle is developing. And every relationship that isn't is stuck. And so I would say that most of my relationships were stuck. Most of them weren't thriving or growing. And probably only 4 of them were thriving. And that was the relationship with my daughters, the relationship with my skill or my craft that I was developing. And yeah, a couple of others kind of, but most of them were in a state of stuck. So what do they look like now? There's many things I can't do, but if I want to develop a relationship, I know how to do it. And so I don't have like the picture actually looks like it's really small in the area of surfing and gardening. And that's because I don't put any effort into that. But if I wanted to, I could.
You could do surfing and gardening.
Yeah.
Do you like surfing and gardening?
No, and that's why I don't do it. Those are just examples. So, but every other relationship I have in my life is growing, is developing, and that was I guess the what I was after. That was what I was trying to work out how to do. Why are these relationships stuck, and why are these relationships thriving, and why am I lopsided? Why am I so good at that and so not good at that? Like, it doesn't make sense. And so in 2013, there was enough stuff that caught up with me for me to go, I have to do something differently. And at the same time, I decided to apply the way that I did branding to individuals. So the intent was to create a program that could allow people to be as brilliant as they wanted to be through choice instead of default. And it took me 6 years to work it out. And I got into territories I didn't think I would get into, but I did because I had to, because that was the parts I needed to work out. So I worked out a system of how to harness and develop the mind. So which was very not a comfortable area for me. But I figured I have a mind, therefore I should know how to use it.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be helpful.
Yep.
What do you think, like, where did you look in that 6 years? You know what I mean? Like, what did you go to tools? Did you consume information? Did you try to express yourself more vulnerably with these connections? Did you take responsibility? What was the journey of 6 years?
Everything.
All of it?
Like, I had a branding agency, and that branding agency evolved really quickly. And within a period of 3 years, we were at a point where we knew we could survive. Like, we knew we could do well. I could sell what we do really well. We had fantastic work. And one of the reasons that I believe it did that, and also I had a methodology for branding that I created, was if anything went wrong in the business and I could see that it was the same problem, I would deep dive into it. And I had a panel of advisors I'd go to try and work out what the issue was. And that meant that the business developed very, very rapidly. Like, I felt like I was like from limitless, you know, take it. It was crazy. I was like, wow, this is nuts. But when I lost the business, I recognized that I hadn't applied it to me personally. I'd applied it to me as a, you know, working out what was wrong with that client or working out what happened with that employee or whatever, but I hadn't done it on me. And so that was the first step. And then the next part was every single thing that got in my way, I would decided to deep dive on it and investigate it and work out how it worked. And so if I look at our mind has got a whole lot of parts to it. And I just looked at them one by one and went, how does this part work? How does it work at a default setting? What does that mean? And how does it work at a like a genius setting? And so that's what I mean by being a strategist who works with brilliance. I just took our brilliance and made it work for us instead of just sitting there at a default level. So for example, we've got the most incredible ability to self-observe. Have you ever learned how to use it? I worked out a way to teach people to use it. Emotions, we're looking at emotions at the moment like they're good and bad. If I look at the start of my life, the methodology for how our society did emotions was to deny them, to only present the good ones. And now we live in a society that is all about talking about them, but you know, but are they happier than, you know? So what I'm saying is, well, that's not working either. And so I created a process where we can use emotions in a totally different way, where they're benefiting us as guides and protectors and a whole lot of other beautiful things, because I just concentrated on one thing at a time and went, how does this work? How can it be brilliant for us? And so I created a program that teaches people how to study their own minds, because the mind is set up by the time you go to try and understand it. So you need a process to be able to see it, to be able to harness it. So,
okay, all right. Okay. That was a great keynote. I feel like I need to situate myself now too. I fear you're asking me all these questions about that beautiful story. Loved it. It just sounds so fancy pantsy. So you lost your business is the word you said?
Yes.
What do you mean by loss? What happened? Let's get real, you know? The audience, share these emotions genuinely.
You know, what I said was not a prepared anything, by the way. That has never been said before like that. That was just
for us.
Just off the cuff. So 2013, I had a branding agency called Allen & Allen, and my middle name's Allen. And Allen means shining light, so branding shining light.
Works. In the sea of darkness.
Yeah. And so had a yellow car, bright yellow Suzuki.
I believe that.
So what happened? The business had reached a point where it worked. And I guess our vision and our purpose changed. You know, I wanted to do something revolutionary. I wanted to change the world. I wanted to, and my business partner wasn't interested. She wanted to make money, in her words, and you know, that's what she wanted to do. I had a drinking problem. She had.
What's your favorite? What was it? Wine or gin?
I figured that. At one point, it was definitely Chardonnay, and then I decided that Chardonnay was the problem, so I changed to Sav, but it was both of them. So wine was my choice. But just an incident happened, or a few incidences happened that we couldn't resolve, and in the end, she took the business because she had 2% more than I did, and I had to get legal. It was awful.
Jeez, what happens like with that stuff? I don't know.
You just... you know, I used a lawyer, and I think that gave her a fright, and then she got lawyered up, and then we went to disputes tribunal. It was just horrific. And in the end, I remember I met this amazing lawyer, I did the brand strategy for the NBR, National Business Review, at the time, and I was talking to this guy and said, okay, who do you think I should go to? And he said, you go to this lawyer, and I can't even remember who he was. And he sat down with me, and he just showed me exactly what my fight was going to look like if I kept on fighting. And I went, enough. There you can have it. He walked away. But.
So you double down on Sav just to cope.
Well, do you know the irony of that?
What, you started a Sav company? Or
keep going.
Oh,
come on, you can guess.
Nah. I
owned a bar.
Oh, yeah, okay, that would have been...
Opened a bar.
Yeah, that would have been a good
guess.
So
around that time, we opened a bar.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
Yeah, but cheap piss, so it wasn't successful. Don't try your own supply. What is it? What do they say about...
something like that. But I think what happened was a few things. We opened a bar, my husband and I, mm-hmm. and it was very successful, you know, Metro top 10 bar.
Oh, watch out. I should have got an autograph while you were here.
We did well. But yes, I had a drinking problem, but the bar was great because it was a laboratory. Mm. And so I used the bar to be able to create the program. And so the bar allowed me to study a community.
So you fucked with drunk people, is that what you're saying?
I was drunk as well. It was my place to study people. And because you're studying a community rather than an individual, I moved beyond storylines and I started understanding people had systems. And I started studying them and I started being able to track them and being able to work out how a person's operating system worked and da da da. And so for 7 years, I had a laboratory that I just studied.
So you're an evil genius trying to change the world, huh?
Yeah, above a bar. And when I worked it out, I had already given up drinking. So I stopped drinking 5 years ago.
Me 8 years ago.
Me.
So that means I'm better than you. Yeah,
you're better than me.
Yeah. No, we're just rookie numbers.
I was older, I drank more. So
yeah, true.
I reckon I win.
Yeah, no, you had more. Yeah.
Yeah, and also giving up a drinking when you're in a bar is actually quite an amazing thing to do. So I think I win on that one.
Yeah, greater stimulus. Yeah. I mean, you picked it though. You know what I mean? Like, if I walked into a bottle store every day, I mean, it's on me, really. You know, I don't think you get bonus points for starting a bar.
You give up.
Then not drinking.
No, you get bonus points for giving up drinking and owning a bar.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, no, valid.
And then I worked at the bar every day and.
Jesus. Yeah. Was it hard? What was the hardest? No. Jeez.
Well.
Oh, you didn't like sniff it just to help you move fun? Like.
6 months before I gave up drinking. I started on a very interesting emotion, which was the emotion of shame.
That's good for drinking, that one.
Yeah. And I started deep diving on it and working out how shame worked. And the process of studying it allowed me to learn how to use it and see it.
Interesting.
So 6 months, and then I was able to look at how I drank properly.
Yeah.
And on that point, I didn't need to drink anymore.
Hey, well, I'd be interested to talk about drinking. just because I lived in a hippie community doing drugs and drinking and doing whatever I want whenever I wanted and thought it was amazing until it wasn't and then realized it's not amazing.
Yeah.
And my belief around the hardest thing in addiction, in my sense, is to give the emotion that it's medicating.
Yes.
Facing that.
Yeah.
So shame is an interesting emotion. I see shame is healthy if you don't say you are the mistake, just that you made a mistake.
Mm.
So what are your thoughts on shame and or your advice to people that are addicted to the salve? Old Candace down the road just fucking...
You know, I teach a process to normalize emotions that are in a state of threat.
Mm.
And essentially, if you look at, I don't know if rehab's like this, but, you know, what I knew of rehab, not that I'd been there. But
oh, you never been? Just did it yourself in a bar?
Disappointing. Wish I had that experience. No, I don't. But, you know, if you look at what you're doing in a rehab situation is you're forcing people out of what I call their defense system. So you're basically not allowing them to go to those points. You're saying, no, you can't blame, no, you can't use, no, you can't this, right? And it's making them go to what I call their core emotions. Now, in the way that I teach in Genius U is that those core emotions have been in a threat state, but then they've been exacerbated and compounded by behavior that has been developing it in a negative way in you. So when I went and looked at shame, it was disgusting because I'd been drinking the way I had for such a long time. But it's really hard for a person to see whether that is them, who they think they might be, or whether that's just the result of a whole lot of behavior. And in Genius U, I show that a person's able to see the difference. And so you're not just experiencing an emotion and all the grossness of it. You're actually using your comprehension to understand where it came from and how it works, and which gives people a whole different relationship with yucky emotions. And so I believe all emotions, when you use them really well, are powerful. It doesn't, and they have to feel disgusting or you keep on doing it, right? And so I think that learning how to recalibrate an emotion in the way that I'm talking about is what we do, what a person does in rehab, but they just don't know that they're doing it in that particular way. They just have to feel the disgustingness of it all. So when they learn how it works and when they learn how to use it, it gives them a whole different level of power. So what I learned is I learned that there were three emotions that sat in a pretty negative space, you know, when I was drinking in the way I was. When I was able to turn them into positive emotions that worked well for me, then they didn't cause the same reaction. So our mind is a system, and so I learned how to recalibrate that system.
Okay. Whew. Yeah, I mean, the genius you comes in fucking pretty effectively there. You've done like three solid pitches there. So let's.
Well, I truly don't mean to. I promise.
Yeah, I believe you. Yeah. So there's an interesting thing you talked there about repairing the relationships with your daughters.
Did I talk about that?
A while back, about 20 minutes ago. You talked about you had these relationships and things that.
Yeah, I think that. My relationship with my daughters was always in a positive space. It was always growing, right? And so I think there's definitely been work I've had to do, you know, since giving up drinking, for example, to be able to talk to them about what it was like for them when their mum had a drinking problem, definitely.
Yeah.
But I think developing Genius You has meant I've had to change the way that I've parented because I've learnt new ways of doing things. And so
Genius You, plug again.
Well, it's been, I reckon I've had three styles of parenting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, I had my first version, which was like the byproduct of the parenting I got, right? So it was me going, hey, that didn't work. I'll try that. And then the more that I started learning about myself, you know, that changed the way that I parented. And then when I kind of, you know, got to a part in the process where it was effective in the way I wanted it, then that was a different way. But the relationships with my daughters has always been, I was always very committed to being the mother I wanted to be. And I think that, like, now I get to cherish and really enjoy those relationships. But, you know, I remember the first time having to talk to them about how they felt about me drinking in the way I did, and it was not pleasant, and not a pleasant conversation with them. But I'm
how old were they when you were telling them? Like, not exactly, but like ballpark.
Like, I gave up drinking 5 years ago. They're 21 and 23 now.
Oh yeah, okay. So yeah, they can interpret it, understand it.
Well, yeah, and I remember thinking there was a song that was on the radio. We were driving in the car and I'd just recently given up drinking, and it was about someone, it was something about being an alcoholic, and they were singing it quite, you know, joyfully. And I thought, have they not made the connection? You know, have they haven't gone, oh, mum's an alcoholic, and thinking, oh, okay, they're not as concerned about this topic as it was what it feels like for me. But then, you know, getting into conversations about it, we talk about it really openly. And, you know, I think that having a bar, having the, you know, kind of that problem at the age when they were teenagers, I regret that happening. But, you know, you do YOLO. What you do, and you, yeah.
Do you know YOLO? That's like, I was
YOLO.
Bad. Yeah, you only live once. So
No, it wouldn't be the comment I'm making. Would that. Yeah.
So there, just to stay on this topic, because it will add value, there will be people out there that have children, they have that sense of shame of the actions that they've taken with their behaviors and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, and shying away from that conversation. Yeah. So what would you say has been the benefit of having that chat, and how did you prepare to be like, all right?
Well, I guess by the time I was fortunate, by the time I started having those conversations, I knew how those emotions work to a degree. And so I knew that it's like when someone repairs a relationship with someone that, you know, you have had a breakup or whatever, and to get that relationship into another state, you have to go through a process of being uncomfortable. And because it's uncomfortable, people think it's wrong, instead of that's just the process, you know. And I think when you have challenging conversations with your kids around, you know, subjects like that, they're going to feel dreadful. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't have them. And I think that now that I've had those conversations, and we do have those conversations, you know, it's, you're not sitting there tense that they're going to come up. You're not worried because you haven't addressed those things. Like, you can relax on it. And that's important. Like, it's kind of, instead of having bombs all over the place, they're actually addressed. And I think that we're also, their experience of what happened, or their childhood and their view, is also totally different from what my experience was. And I have to give them the right to whatever that view is.
Even though it's wrong. No, just kidding.
Hell yes. Even though they're wrong. No, but they're not. That's their view and that's their interpretation. But I think I was freaking lucky, to be honest.
Pulled it off.
I think I pulled it off.
You clutched it.
Yeah, I think the hard work that I did in developing those relationships set me up well. But I do think that I do have pretty incredible daughters, and we love each other very much. I mean, and not that, like, we have a lot of fun together, and you know, I think that the best way to be a parent is to make sure your kids are in love with you.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and then they can forgive you for all your fuck ups.
So. Yeah, well, as long as you get it right from 0 to 2, they're pretty well set. The rest is the peers' fault.
I don't know. I think I could have really.
Well, teenagers wasn't your best work, but, you know, we all live and learn.
Oh, wow. I tell you, I was a lot worse, so.
Yeah? Yeah. Wow. Is there a moment, like, I mean, this is fucked up, and you can dodge this one. What was one of, did you have, like, a rock bottom moment, or, like, a, oh, this is up there?
Oh, lots.
Oh, are they public, or? Because this is a heavy one. This is unfair to ask this. Yeah.
I mean, I remember the day I decided to give up drinking.
Oof. Mm. I can share mine if it helps you.
Okay, go.
So this was a weed one.
A weed one?
Yeah. So we fuck you on. I'm here to see if why. So we had this guy called the Godfather, and he'd buy $400 worth of weed every few days. He was a Swiss banker, and he just gave it to us. And we're smoking like 20 joints a day. And then he would roll for me, so I didn't know how to do it. And then I remember it was like 2 a.m, someone had stolen all the things he had rolled for me, and he'd left. I was like, right, using my Nokia phone with the snake on it. I don't know if you had Nokia back in there. And then I was trying to find nuggets in the table so I could try and roll it on paper that I didn't really have. And I was like, you know, this is fucked. So then I was like, I'll stop that. Took a little while of tries, but, you know, got there.
That's impressive.
Could be darker. But I could maybe share a darker moment. I don't know. I can't think of it.
It was getting lost on the way home. I got lost on the way home to Avondale, and I was in an Uber.
Ah, well, that's their fault, isn't it?
No, because I fell asleep, and then they dropped me off. It's a couple of streets over, and I remember thinking, "This is it." And it was, but again, there's always the last straw, isn't there?
Mm.
And I'd given up for a month, and that gave me enough context or enough perspective to be able to see what I look like, not drinking versus. And the decision came, you know, there was no person at my door saying, if you don't, this is the consequences. No one was like that. It was me going, if I want to achieve this vision of mine or this purpose of mine, then I have to be able to trust myself. And to trust myself, I can't do it like that. And that I, you know, subsequently I've been diagnosed with ADHD. I have an addict brain. I don't even eat sugar. Because as soon as I...
You're off. Twinkies just...
Like. And like I'm like a, you know, I just go for it. Like,
yeah?
Yeah.
And all in. So I'm similar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
I fast all day until dinner, otherwise I'll eat too much.
Well, these days I have a very, you know, black and white way of doing particular things because that's what keeps me balanced and healthy. But I didn't understand that about myself then. So, and it you know, it hurts. And it makes us feel bad about ourselves, our behavior, and what we do is what causes us to feel, you know, a sense of belief and trust and worth and all those yummy things. And you can't do that with a drinking problem.
No, not with that lopsided brilliance.
You know? No, now I'm so. So that was, there was lots of dark.
Yeah, yeah. People, you seem to get away with it in a way. Like, there weren't people coming after you being like, you slob, you're turning up late again. Like, you were highly functioning in a way, or no. Or we just don't know about it.
Well, I wouldn't.
You got lost in the street, no?
I wouldn't have lost my business. Now, to this point, I do not believe that I lost my business because of the incident that was a catalyst to creating lots of friction. But I do know that because of the shame that I had around the way I drank, I couldn't back myself to the degree I could now. And so even though I lost my business for a whole heap of reasons that weren't associated with that, the fact that I had a drinking problem meant I didn't have the skills to be able to address the things that needed to be addressed. And, you know, so it always affects you somehow. And now I just don't have those issues or those thoughts. But it's not so much because of the way I drink or not drink. It's because of the way I understand myself and understand what makes me feel particular ways.
Yeah, did well. I was there's a whole lot of chaos in the background, people talking, and you just locked in. I wasn't as focused as you, so I need that hyper focus ADHD stuff. Just fucking.
I was there. Well, that's why I'm a strategist.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
So on the understanding emotions and what's holding you back.
Yeah.
So you keep seeing. It seems like you're treating humans like computers in a way, like default settings and CPU or whatever. Well, what's your thing? I guess you can't tell. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's nothing.
You just, like a eureka moment when you're dreaming, you're like, I've got the secret sauce that's never been discovered before. Or you use motivational interviewing, or you like mindfulness, no. Swing it. No.
I teach people to be able to see their, what I call their mental systems. So if you know, I'm sure if you looked at yourself for any period of time, you would see a whole lot of behaviors on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's evidence of a system, and okay. A system works in a particular way, right? And so I've worked out how to be able to get people to track them and see them and understand them. And when you can comprehend them, you can change them very easily. When you can't, it's very hard to do. And so what I've recognized is that every person has to be able to comprehend their own systems, and so they have to be able to learn to study them. And so the process of Genius U teaches them to be able to study them over a 10-week period, or 6 or 10 weeks, depending on which one they choose to do. So I teach them every week to do another part of learning the process. And by about week 4, they've got the whole process, and then we practice it and teach them. And so I use their life as the data to see the systems, and then I teach them how to understand the different systems, because they're all doing different things. And then they change the systems, and then they see their life change. So that's so it's very so what I say is that we're more than a mind. We've got all of these different functions to us. A mind is one thing, and because our mind uses our thinking to work, we think of our mind as us. And so what I've done is systemize the mind so we can see which parts are working how, which gives us an ability to comprehend it. And then we can use our awareness or consciousness or whatever you want to call it, greatest amount of kind of a bigger self, to be able to change and develop our systems.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you. It's just so the systems and the, you know, you used to walk around in factories and see how things work, and now you got this. I'm wondering, like, and then I'm thinking, oh yeah, I had a laboratory in the top of a bar and I was experimenting with people. I've just got all this swimming in my head.
Well, one of the things that I think, well, I'll add to that swimming is I teach people how to be their own scientist.
Okay.
So at the moment, you know, one of the things we look at is who's in charge of your mind right now, who runs it. Like, I believe most people, it's just a reaction to an emotion. So it's they're constantly reacting to everything. When there's an ability to be able to see those reactions, understand those reactions, and be able to do something with it. It actually might sound a little freaky, but it just makes sense once you can learn how to do it. Like, everybody always turns around to me once I've taught them a process, and it's like, it's so simple. And I'm like, yeah, it is so simple, but it was so hard to work out.
So let's go to the working out part, these fucking experiments you're doing upstairs. What was one you tried and you're like, oh, that was a bit of a fucking fruit loop? Like, where did you, how did, because we got to, I don't believe there's too much new information. Or that level of innovation, I think, of creativity is a combination of everyone else's ideas filtered through your experience.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. Yeah, so
what were these failed experiments? I got a guy scared of a tap once and I regret it.
I've worked with over 400 people.
Okay.
Okay, so, and every person came in for the same method, right? And I just improved that method over and over and over again. So,
what was the bones of it? What was the first thing where you're like?
The first thing was, person comes in, and guess what? When you sit in and you're working with a coach or you're working with a therapist or whatever, it's just one view, right? The first thing that I did was I interviewed five others around that person. So you came in, I'd interview your mum, I'd interview your sister, I'd interview your best friend, I'd interview your client, and I'd interview your boss.
Jesus, like, I that know. Was your avatars? You had no. to tick those boxes every time?
No.
Okay.
We would choose the five. Oof. But it has to be a cross-section.
Okay.
Okay, so do you know how powerful that is?
Yeah, very powerful.
Okay, cool. And then I worked out that I could get past people's storylines and I could actually start looking at commonalities, and I worked out how to map out their operating system, so how they unconsciously operated. And then I could draw it, and I could, you know, and I could define their purpose and what they were brilliant at, and I could. And then one day I worked out that the mind was doing one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it was doing?
No, tell me. What was the mind doing?
Once a mind is past survival, it's either gunning for love or it's defending against losing it.
Okay.
And from there, I could start, again, mapping out how it operated. The definition of what love is very diverse, right? But I worked out that that's what the mind was doing. And from there, I worked out how to untangle it. And so it was just a process. Every single, you know, let's say there's been 13 iterations or 17, it doesn't matter, iterations, and it just got more and more powerful.
Okay.
But? 4 years ago, as I was working with a client, I saw how everything was connected and how their behavior was feeding all of the gross feelings they had about themselves. And it was just such a crazy moment that I started working out that there were, the systems and how the system started functioning. And when I started getting into how our emotional defense system worked and defining the implications, the program just went from, let's say, comparatively 2 to 3 out of 10 of effectiveness to 8 to 9, like that. And so at that point, I had to work out how to teach it, and that took another couple of years, but it just game changed everything. And that information was the result of the 6 years of work I'd done. It was innovation. It wasn't around. So that's what happened.
So I love talking to you. It's fucking interesting. I don't want to. Oh, I love talking to everyone, really. But
yeah.
But anyway, so you had these completely in like individual eureka moments, or did you have any books or things of inspiration or so people to make sure you're on the path?
Yeah. Well, every time I ran into something I couldn't understand, I would just go and research and research until I understood it. But what I was trying to work out is, how does this thing work brilliantly? Tying back to my, how does it work so it benefits us? Like, for example, I'll go back to self-observation. When we don't learn how to use our ability to self-observe, it sits there like a judgment tool. And it just judges everything. It judges you, it judges other people, it judges, what it's judging on is based on whatever it got programmed to judge based on. It's not, so it's sitting there as this powerful, powerful tool that's been turned into something that's really negative for us and hurts us. So what I've done is gone, okay, you can self-observe, let me teach you how to use it. And I'm going to teach you how to use it with a framework. And that framework is based on how the mind creates outputs, the system. And so, very, very powerful way to be able to do it. So when I started researching self-observation, there's very little content about it. You know, there's this wonderful poet called Red Hawk who writes about it, who's amazing. Mm. There's a whole movement, and I can't even remember what it was called, but there's hardly anything. They talk about awareness, but awareness and self-observation are two different things. And, you know, like, a lot of people think they have awareness, but what I discovered is that when I got something to work well, it would create a sustainable change, not a change that would just hold for a feeling or a moment or whatever. It would create a change that would stay there and remain. And so when I worked out I call them the seven implications of our emotional defense system, no one can prove it's right. But when I teach it to people in the way I do, their level of ability to change and develop increases by 80%. And so therefore I know it works. And so you had to back yourself to be able to go, well, when is this working or not working? And that was hard because there was no one to validate that for me.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in the results of my clients.
Okay. So listen, I'm genuinely not trying to bail you up in any way. I'm just trying to understand. So you got these people and you're having these positive changes. And I imagine it's tricky to tell someone about it, you know, because they don't receive it that well. Or there's also the IP component of it, you know, protecting it.
Why would I want to protect it?
I don't know. You're not telling me anything. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I've got the system and the CPU and this person is
able. Not at all. It's not that I'm protecting it. I could send you my workbooks. You can absolutely see them. They're in black and white. You know, it's very tangible. It's just that we don't perceive that we can see ourselves like this. That's the gap. Okay, so it's like explaining a car to someone who's only ever seen a horse. Like, there's a totally different way you can view yourself. And so that's where the gap is. And when I teach a person how to view themselves in this particular way, what that means is all of their solutions and problems are different. And so they can fix things in different ways. So the biggest issue with this program is not that I'm trying to be ambiguous or I'm trying to IP protect or whatever. It's just that we have no idea that we can see ourselves in the way that I teach people to see themselves.
Yeah, I get the side of people not believing until they experience it in a way. And if you share it without the context, it will just be like, what the fuck is this?
Absolutely. And it's it pisses me right off.
Well, you're talking to me. I'll be open. I'll be open, just ignore everyone else.
Well, I think when you've created something that's very special and it's nearly impossible to prove, you know, it's not...
Yeah, you get criticism and doubt and you question yourself and then...
And, you know, it was interesting because I went through a process recently where I decided I wanted to get a credible source to, you know, be able to review it. And that was great. You know, that was a really incredible process.
What'd they do? What'd they tell you?
They told me it was very good. They told me that they understood what I was doing, and they told me how to review it from a client coming in at the beginning and at the end. It was really simple. He was like, your results are phenomenal. You don't need to create a way of a credential for this, but why not collect the data of the results you're doing? So now I have. And so, you know,
what was their credibility, just out of curiosity? Don't say that.
They're a sociologist.
And a sociologist,
yeah,
okay.
Very credible, and I won't say who they are. No, no. You know, but it, the hardest thing in doing something like that is actually the backing of yourself.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting process to do it because, one, you know, there were people, I did talk to some people and they were quite rude and, you know, laughed at me and said,
I'm getting the aura.
Yeah, yeah, you're a tiny fish and there's a big pond and there's big people doing this. And I'm like, yeah, well, if people were doing it really well, why are everyone still looking for it? Why are we all looking for, you know, the eureka and the, if it was being done well? Like, I look at clients that come in to work with me that have been through so many different coaches and so many different, you know, therapists and self-development, and I'm like, the framework of how we're doing it is, in my view, not right. And all I've done is created a new framework.
Okay, so...
He's so frustrated.
No, look, I'm as I say, my goal is to give every person the opportunity to live a fulfilling life. And if you've got an opportunity to help facilitate that, and I can understand it in some way with an open mind, but I also get, you know, the criticism, the feedback that out of context wouldn't make sense. It will sound completely out the gate in some ways, I imagine, and just some components, but it works.
I don't even like, you know, like...
I just want to learn it. On air for everyone to see.
You want to learn it.
I want to see what the fuck you're doing. You can do it. You know, I'm just going to do this marketing thing for a while, eventually.
Shall we video me taking you through the program?
If you want.
Okay.
I've got time. Do you have time?
Well, I can't. It takes
10
weeks.
Oh, in the future. Oh, yeah.
But if you want to do that, we can do that. It's,
I just want to know shit now. Just some things out of context.
I think the thing is...
Because if I do it and they're like, oh, just believe me. I've done this. I've done all these... The challenge... To interrupt you, sorry.
That's right.
The challenge you face is a lot of people sound like you and aren't you.
Yes, you're right.
That's
the challenge I face. But it doesn't really matter, does it? Like, at the end of the day, I don't...
Well, I'd love to know.
I want to be...
Without doing it.
Well, you can't because that's the issue. Like, at the moment, the way our mind works is it works to keep us away from any emotion it doesn't like. So it has this inbuilt system that repels us away. And we can see it on obvious stuff, right? We can see it's like fight-flight mode, but it's with emotions. So if an emotion is in a threat state in your mind, you'll hit a defense system, and that defense system uses your thinking to move you away from it. So anything that a person finds uncomfortable, that system will be hit.
Question.
Yeah.
If there was another you in the world,
yeah,
could you explain it to them and they would get it?
Well, if there was another me.
Like, they understood it. They're a mad scientist working on people in a bar as well. Because I'm saying, like, I get it. Like, I 100% get it. That... probably not going to receive it well, and as soon as you say it, you might get more judgment.
There's nothing to say. You know, that's the thing, is like, is there anything to say? I think this is the kind of thing, like, you know,
speaking of defense mechanisms,
I've worked with so many different people, and people roll up, you know, and they have for what, 10 years. They roll up and they trust me for whatever reason to be able to improve their life in some way, and I always have. Okay, so even though it was 10 years ago and the program wasn't anything like it is today, any bit of self-knowledge is going to improve your life. Any, you know, But it's changed to a process when we're now in 10 weeks, I can take a person and I can make their ability to fix relationships, enhance their skills, you know, fix issues at a totally different rate. Now, the people that do that get to experience it. That's what's important, right? So my driver wasn't the fact that you're going to believe me or not. And now I know how the mind works. I understand why people can't, right? My driver was for impact. My driver was that a person could be as brilliant as they possibly could be. And I've created a process that teaches them how to do it. I've done it. That's what I wanted to do.
So you want to make impact?
Yes, and so you will not see me sully the work I do and create, you know, work that's not going to create that impact, because that's the belief I have in the beauty of people. So I won't just do a book that doesn't work, or I won't just do that's not what drives me. A guy said to me the other day, can I pay you 3 times more and you just put me through it in 2 days? I said, no. Because it wouldn't cause the result.
The impact, yeah, the impact. I get it.
So it doesn't matter that people don't believe me. It doesn't, like, I'm not on a crusade for people to go, Swan, you know, amazing. And I get it. It's not that important, but it's important for me to be able to take the people through the program that I get the opportunity to take through, and for them to be able to feel how incredible they are.
I feel like, let's say, in many decades to come, you live a happy, fulfilling life, making an impact to the thousands of people, because you've done 400 already. That's right.
Oh, sorry.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
And then that knowledge is forever lost.
It's not, because if I taught it to you, you couldn't forget it. It's yours then, you know, and that's the thing, is every person I teach it to is theirs. They don't lose it.
You're a complex individual.
Why?
So when we spoke off air, I'll talk to say nice things. You know, your perception, and to build comfort and natural inquisitive nature and understand others, I could see you making a meaningful impact to people's lives purely just from the way you approach things and who you are. Mm-hmm. Putting aside the system thing. Now, we've talked in this, and it hasn't been necessarily a safe space, and it's public, and then you've got all these other people that have been nice about your ideas, but then you've got these clients that are making this beautiful impact in their lives.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to understand, and I understand that, you know, 10-week course, I won't get it unless I do it. Mm. I'm just trying to... When I try and explore that with you,
yeah,
there's things that are coming out to defend.
I think what
do you think
feeling,
that is? Oh, what I'm feeling. Okay, yeah. Okay, this is what you feel. Yeah, yeah.
I think the reality is it's impossible.
Okay, so you don't think
that's all you're picking up on, is it is impossible. I can share different parts with you, but it's impossible, and that's all you're picking. And I'm saying, to me, it doesn't matter that it's impossible. That's all I'm saying. And I think a lot of people have said, try and explain it over the years. It's impossible to explain. And I remember a client said to me recently, he said, oh, Simone, I wish you could explain this in the way that I get now, right? He said, I wish you could. And I said to him, it's impossible.
We don't know. You've tried, and it doesn't seem possible.
I know, because I know how the systems of the mind work, and I know that it's too big a leap. It's too big a paradigm shift in one conversation. What's a small shift? That we have... Oh,
there's a lot that you're tricky. Yeah, I genuinely think you're an amazing person. I've whatever this is, I get it. It's not helping. The impact you could have.
It's maybe that's the thing.
You don't want to. You just want to help.
No, I like.
They can get fucked. Those homeless people out there.
No, not at all. I think that I can take one person through something that's so big that it's the game changer of their lives, that they can step into being who they want to be, right? Mm-hmm. And I've learned how to do that through working on something, obsessing on something for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the next 10 years hold? For me, it's learning how to take 1,000 people through at the same time, and that's what's going to happen next. What?
How do you do that? By practicing or no?
I think that it's just the same thing. It's showing up to the same place and teaching the same tools for 10 weeks, but working with 1,000 people rather than working with one person. It's just a process. And so, the thing with the process is you have to teach it in a particular way. Like I say to my clients at the beginning, you have to follow what I tell you to do. They have to do homework every day. They have to, lean into hard emotions. And obviously I teach them how they work. But you cannot do it unless you go through that process. And for years it minded that I couldn't explain it. For years. And then when that client said to me, oh, I just so wish you could explain this, I sat down and I thought about it for a long time. And I defined 5 different reasons why it was impossible. And I went, okay, that's okay.
Damn it. Well, this cuts off at 30 minutes, so I just push that button. I don't ignore you. I might give you a break from it, but it's 3:16. I don't know if you've got to be anywhere.
I'm all right now.
You're all right. You're not sure.
I'm just going to stretch.
Yeah, freedom.
So are you annoyed with me?
Huh? No, not annoyed. We're still recording too. I can pause if you want. Up to you. This is content. Okay, I'll talk to the empty chair. So this is what I'm feeling.
Okay.
So I've got an archetype of life that is, I'm not very trusting of others. And I've experimented all these other things. You know, I've gone to this, I think it's called a Warriors Weekend. And before you get in, they ask you to make this commitment to be like, oh, everything that happens here stays in here, because if people heard about the process, they wouldn't understand it. Yeah. I've heard that. I have heard that, yeah. And then went through it and I was disappointed that I made an agreement that I was uncomfortable with, because it was a bit woo-woo, things that were happening here.
Mm.
And then the other side of things is, you know, I'm on the exploration of truth and trying to understand what helps people.
Yeah.
So I do get how things are out of context. I've done a lot of unusual and interesting things with the mind. Mm-hmm. Guided meditations that, you know, you're visualizing certain things and it doesn't make sense unless you're actually visualizing them. Like mine was like a gargoyle inside, like a dark cave.
See, this isn't like that at all. This is very systematic. And
you might want to move a little closer. Just use the break to move around. Change the energy space.
And I think that's kind of something that's really wonderful about it, is it's not woo-woo. It's not incomprehensible. It's just that I've learned how to teach it to people in a way. You know that I always wanted to be a rock star.
Oh, yeah? Did you?
Yeah.
You sing or play star. Or?
I don't know.
You just want to do one. No.
And if I look at myself, I'm like the queen of making sense of things.
Okay. It's
very un-rock star-ish. But I've made sense of it all. Hmm. And that was very, very important to me, because nothing made sense. A person would be nice there and then horrible. A person would be amazing there and then, you know, like how much did I love my business partner and then she took my business from me after I had done this and done this. Why were people like this?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was created a framework to make sense of it all. And when I made sense of it, then I could start being the brilliant person that I wanted to be, and then I could teach other people to do the same thing. This is not woo-woo. This doesn't have to be, but the gap is that we don't know we can see ourselves. How do I say to people sometimes, it's like we're driving a car facing backwards, blindfolded, without knowing how it works. That's how we're driving our mind right now. So I just turn their head around, take the blindfold off, and teach them how to use the parts.
Mm.
But if you're doing it from the other angle and you're never knowing that you actually have got this other way to do it, how do you make How can you make a comparison?
Okay, I want to give you a break. This has been tough, even for me. You know, like, I can be brutal with my exploration of truth, and you come in here unknowingly of what's going to happen, and you just be like, oh, tell me. No, I won't. So maybe we'll go somewhere else with this to give you a break.
Okay. You know, just on that, though.
Okay, go on. We can stay in here all you...
No, it's fine. But on this, is it... It's going to be something that the more people become aware of this, the more questions I'm going to be asked, like, prove it.
Right? Yes, some people never come because you won't tell them at least an outline.
Well, I'll you know, outline's no problem, but...
All right, let's do that outline. Can we do an outline?
Okay, so you come into the program.
Okay, good.
Okay, and then the first week, so you do 2 hours session with me for the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then 1 hour for the next, 6 or 8. And then I do your 360, and then I teach you a method of how to observe yourself.
Okay.
Okay. And then when I've taught you how to observe yourself, so you have like this framework and you're drawing all the little boxes and you're tracking your thoughts and behaviors and what's causing those thoughts and behaviors to go, I then show you how the systems work. And I show you the system of how the mind creates an output. So it works with a core concept and all our thoughts and behaviors. And then I show how emotions, we can track emotions. And I show how our emotional defense system works. And then I show why
you start to smile.
And then, so step by step, but remembering we're using your life as the data. So every week we're collecting data for you to be able to understand and get to a point where you can see cause and effect of things. Right? And then I teach you how to smash those systems and change them, using emotions like powers and actually really using them to benefit our existence rather than hinder it. And so that's the process, but it's effective.
Yeah.
And you can't stop thinking in that particular way once you've learnt that way, because it works better. And so, like, I talk to people a year later and they've still got a sermon in their head that's going, think about this, you know, like, and I teach people how to track things that are on repeat, because repeat shows a system. So it's just a whole bunch of practical solutions that's sitting in an industry that is not well done right now.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't necessarily think I've missed out. Like, if I think about it, I break it down. Okay, I'm unconsciously doing things and they're impacting my life, and now suddenly I'm more aware of them. In a way, you know, I've got these data points, this behavior, I'm doing this and I'm recording that, so I'm aware of things. And then, okay, if I've got all this data that leads to a particular identity or core belief or something that you're like, oh, should I feel this thing? I wonder what that is. Let's experiment with that in a place where I'm accepted and understood, and express it to others or even just to myself. So then I can integrate the things that happened that lead to these unconscious behaviors. Is how I would interpret without knowing anything about your fucking voodoo.
I think you've done very well.
Okay.
But I think there's a few other the parts in there. Like,
okay.
You know, every time we start interpreting our emotions at what age?
I don't know.
You're 18 months old.
Oh, do we? Okay, interesting.
So as soon as we start interpreting our emotions, that becomes the programming for how we respond to those emotions. So, for example, if you have a terrible relationship with the emotion of success.
Yeah, give it back to me. Yeah.
Then you will sabotage on that. Now, sabotage doesn't sound like sabotage. It sounds like a rationalization that you will buy into that will divert your way, like, oh, I need to make this process more robust, or I'm bored of that, or I'm...
So... This tonality's a bit sharp.
No, sorry. So what we've got to do is we've got to be able to look at the way that our emotion's been programmed, how we've interpreted it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we've interpreted the emotion of despair, for example, as being unworthy, then we will be bringing that, we'll be building that in our lives through our thoughts and behaviors, because it comes from that interpretation. You can't create a life if you haven't interpreted or understood in a particular way.
Mm.
What that means is we're creating all our own shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And all I'm teaching people to do is how to get to the initial interpretation and be able to change it.
Gotcha. Right?
So instead of having to willfully change something, they're using the genius of humans, which is our comprehension, to be able to be a change an emotion to get a different outcome. Okay. So let's say with my husband, every single time he doesn't give me what I want, I move into having a go at him for whatever, you know, thing he's done. And if I track that system, I can see it comes because when he doesn't give me what I want, I feel despair, and then I interpret that as him not loving me and blah, blah, mm-hmm, blah, mm-hmm. and create that reaction, mm-hmm. and that becomes our relationship. So all I've done is recalibrated that emotion and learned how to work with it so it's benefiting our relationship instead of hurting it.
See, this makes sense. So, like, I see in relationships, you have a story, and then they have a story, and you need both need to be empathetic for yourself and each other about that story. Like, you know, mine is not feeling valued, so I feel more comfortable when someone keeps agreements or is genuine,
right.
so that I can be clear on their intent, so yeah. that, you know, yeah. I feel safer in the connection that we have.
Yeah.
Then I also think about rationalization. So when you explore someone's mind and try to understand them, they often, in order to maintain the status quo, their core belief or their identity, they have these things that come out that protect it.
Yeah.
So I can get that, you know, yeah. you don't want to do this.
Yeah. yeah. So imagine this though. Like the other day I did an exercise challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And so that challenge had 10 points to it. Okay, and I changed the way that I ate, and I changed when I ate, and I changed the way I exercised. And so all these 10 points, right? And I did that, and then I went, holy moly, I've got so much control over my body. I've got control over what I put in, what I, you know. So, but it was these 10 points that I investigated at. Well, genius is a bit the same, as we only look at things from one perspective. So we look at, say, that particular relationship and how you react in that particular way. But you might have another system over there that causes this to happen. Okay. And therefore, if you don't do it at the same time, you don't get the full effectiveness of it, right? So everything that works in terms of a people's development is very similar. It's just that I've put all these components together, like in my challenge, so it's a whole different level of effectiveness. And I believe that that effectiveness is aligned to how brilliant we are as people and how rapidly we can develop. So that's the big point. So there's, if you only look at it from a small perspective, you're only going to be able to affect change in a small way. I've just opened it right up.
I get that. I mean, and we're complex. We've got different components to what makes us who we are. And I've also made the mistake of, I'll realize some past event or whatever has some impact. And then I'll get stuck on that paradigm of being like, this is why I feel what I feel. I focus less on what caused the emotion as opposed to like being aware of the unconscious things that I'm doing. So I'm or self-observing, maybe. I don't know if it's the right way to use it. Cause
it's not my word.
Self-observing, so I'm more conscious of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, but not necessarily understanding where it came from. And then surrounding myself with relationships with people where I can be vulnerable and express fears. And those two things probably be my 80-20 of, you know, getting control of my mind again. And I don't know about the whole psychoanalysis, you know, when I was 10, my mum didn't love me, so that means I can't, you know, shake hands. Like, I don't know. I don't see the value on it, but I can see how it created it.
Yeah, like I look at, say, your relationships, you know, siblings, whatever, right? If a person moves into a state of threat, right, what their mind does is it retrieves the memory to create a new emotion. Okay, mm-hmm. So let's say with my brothers or whatever, you know, I feel it insignificant, and so they, I can retrieve an emotion, I can retrieve a memory of frustration or resentment, and then that becomes the significant thought that goes through mm-hmm. my head. Imagine how much that damages that relationship. Now, that's what happens with us. We've got these systems that do these things, and because we don't know how they work, they become the dominant thoughts in our mind, and then they affect how our relationships develop. So that means that the people we've had the most history with suffer the most, you know, mm-hmm. because we've got all these memories that we can throw at each other when things happen. I don't think we need to psychoanalyze. I don't think we need to go, oh, because my mum did that to me or whatever. I think that becomes what we think we need to do when we don't understand the dynamics or the mechanics of how our behaviors and thoughts actually work.
Mm. See, we're finding some headway here. We're getting places.
We got stuck on how does this work kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you told me something. You don't have to be like, you know, to break your belief systems, we get you to juggle oranges and write down these. You didn't have to go there. But just talking about, I'm not saying you do that, and you said it's very scientific and statsy. Don't stop doing your thinking face. This hasn't finished.
That's my thinking face.
Yes, I'm about to talk, but Ryan's going to keep talking. Using relatable stories of people's experiences and using scientific things, you know, like you have neurons that set up a certain way when a stimulus happens, you react like this.
Yeah.
The more aware we are of that, you know, probably a good thing.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, have you found, you might not share the process, but have you found things that land in their head, or you just referrals, you sell the result, or what works?
Well, generally, clients come in because somebody else talks to them about it. But unfortunately, people come in because they're in pain in some way. Like there's a small percentage, maybe 10% of people come in just because they are ambitious and they're just going to learn anything about themselves, basically. Mm. And that's fine. But most people come in because the pain of something has overridden the desire not to look. And then they might have heard someone talk about me or whatever. And so they rock up. And then the study changes from being about Genius You to being about them. They're studying themselves, right? So it's really hard to explain it to anybody else because it's their study on them. So using their life as the data, their relationships, they learn how to do this process. It just makes sense to them because like I was talking to this guy the other day, he's just finished the program. And one of the things that he said that he loves about now having these tools is he feels so much trust in his ability to move forward in his career. He feels like he has any tool or any skill that he needs because he knows how to access the knowledge to be able to apply that skill. So people think that skills very much sit behind education or information, but if you can't use a particular emotion, you can't actually develop that skill. And so when I teach people how to use their emotions, they can develop any skill they want. You know, they can develop any relationship they want. So how amazing does that feel? You know, how many times have I worked with a relationship where it's been, you know, looks like it was never going to be reconnected, but then teaching people this process, it's resolved. So I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, neither do I. We weren't even talking about. You just needed a. You did your Genius Hughes pitch again. Now, I'm curious on how to sell what you do, partly. It's quite interesting because, you know, it's not too dissimilar from a normal service. You sell an intangible thing. Mm-hmm. As soon as you talk about the how or the what, they don't quite get it and it sounds like work.
It is work.
It is, yeah. And then often a good way to sell it is the results that people mm-hmm. think and showing that you understand people's pain.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, so now this isn't me fucking going after you. What the fuck are you gonna, what is it? Tell me about it. I get some semblance. I know I don't get it fully.
That's fine. Yeah.
I'm just curious how you sell it now, because, you know, have you been thinking about how you sell it? Because referrals are nice, but I mean,
I think that I'm realistic about
mm.
where it's at. I don't want to be Like, I remember it.
You can have any skill. You've controlled your emotions now.
Yeah.
The skill of selling what you do.
Sorry. I don't want to be a person selling a nice feeling for a little while to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They can go to a concert to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do recognize that, it means when a person rocks up, they have to trust me, and generally they're buying that trust.
What about training someone? Do you want to train someone?
Yeah, I've started to.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So how are we going to sell people the idea of training? So I guess you train your clients, maybe?
Yeah, well, clients, that when they learn the process, they can't help but, have it and use it.
Mm.
And then quite often they teach their children or they teach their relation partners or whatever. But there's a couple of people that I'm starting to work with that
I'm
teaching the process to. I don't think that that's going to be hard to do, because it's not, it's just a process that every person has the capacity to process.
You got to teach them how to get clients though.
Yeah, well, and that's
so how they're going to sell it.
So how they're going to sell it.
You know what I'm saying? There's so many fucking, you might be completely fully healed and enlightened and worked it all out, but I'm sensing a lot of fucking defense mechanism got my back up coming up. But I haven't been a safe space as well.
I think it's because you keep on trying to do something that's impossible to do, which is understand something that you can't understand right now.
Gotcha.
And so we keep on butting because you can't get past that.
Okay, right? Sure.
And so that's, I look at when you're branding a company, I look at complex businesses trying to sell in one 90-second pitch, right? So that you can't do that. You have to build the relationship and do whatever you need to do. And potentially, because we've got all these people standing up on stages saying that they can fix people in the way that they can, that's what dilutes the proposition when I'm talking about it or whatever. I'm not saying that there's an answer there, but what I'm doing is I'm building a group of people that are, and it's growing every year. You know, it was interesting. I started working with a networking group a while ago, and at the beginning they looked at me like, oh my, what is this, what's she about? And now people just edge up and they say, I'm next.
Okay. Well.
Because the biggest thing that they're picking up is the feeling.
Yeah, I get it.
And the biggest thing that people, is going, what are you doing differently?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine if you keep providing exceptional service and changing people's lives in a way they've never seen before, they'll probably tell other people about it, and then it'll just naturally transgress.
And I think that's exactly what's happened. Now, my problem was when I tried to think about how to build it without just that natural progression.
Mm.
And so is there a problem with building it like that? Like, and that was a big thing, is like, how do I want to be big? Do I want to be this? And I guess at the end of the day, I want that impact. And that impact for me isn't standing in front of 500,000 people. That impact is taking one amazing, incredible person right now and giving them all the tools that are innate in them and teaching them how to use them.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, genuinely. I am happy for you. You're a lovely person. And if these people are having these incredible changes, I'm not saying they're not.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Keep it up.
I will.
My only last pushback.
Oh, I wonder. Yeah.
And we're at the end, so, and you can have, the floor or whatever, is my opinion. I feel like you gave up on the impossible too soon.
I don't think I did. I think I've worked on something for 10 years, and it was a really hard thing to work on, but my reward is not in a person in an hour conversation getting it. My reward is when a person that's done this process turns around and goes, oh my God, it's so simple, and thank you, and that's enough.
Okay.
Like, that, well. So I think that I've come to the point, the realization that my job is done and that I put that together. And, you know, sometimes I say to people, and it's a bit cheeky that I'm saying this, but I think, you lucky bastard that I've done this, because it was so hard and you get to walk on in 10 weeks. But that's I've done it. And so I don't have to do this other thing because I know that it's too hard for me to do. Now, let's say I was an Apple or let's say I was a big brand and people put lots and lots of money behind me to create footage that would be able to express a transformation creatively. I don't have I'm not in the position to have the funds to be able to do that. At some point, maybe I'll do it. But right now, it's just this one woman that's done this thing that can transform at the moment 40 people a year, and that at some point we'll be able to put teams through, and that's what I wanted to achieve.
Cool. Well, I've loved meeting you. I feel like it hasn't been great for you, but thank you for coming on.
I think one thing I'll do in the future is actually redirect that question. Because I think that it's a natural question, right? It's a very, very, it's what you want to say. Explain it to me. How does it work? But you can't. And so, and one day, yes, I'll get there when I have my bigger brand budgets to work with.
So it's possible?
Yes, it is totally possible. I just don't have the resources.
Good.
That's what Apple did. That's what big brands do.
Cool.
They're able to show a paradigm shift through creativity. I don't have access to that right now.
Cool. So it's really hard, but possible.
Okay, you won.
No, I don't want to win. No, I want my.
Yes, you're right. It is absolutely possible, just not with my resources.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
And it's really nice that you've brought me to that point. Because in actual fact, I've realized that before I just forgot. So if I had the resources to be able to show it, yeah.
Cool. Well, I hope you achieve your dreams. And
thank you.
I love meeting you, so thanks for coming on.
Thank you.